From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. $424 million. That's the estimated price to completely overhaul Pimlico Racecourse. What does this ambitious project include? Who would foot the bill? We discussed the debate over moving the Preakness Stakes from Baltimore's Pimlico to Laurel Park with Jeff Barker of the Baltimore Sun. How did the owner of both tracks favor Laurel in its spending, and who was watching that happen? Then Will Hanna of the New Park Heights Community Development Corporation shares his vision.
There's a lot of things that are needed in the Park Heights community: movie theaters, new fields, new amenities, housing. Either way, if the Preakness leaves or if the Preakness stays, there's going to be some redevelopment.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record.
What are they going to do next? Take Crabs away from Baltimore? They're going to take the Ravens away? They're going to take the Orioles away? And I know it sounds funny. And then the last thing they're going to take away is Old Bay. Folks, we need the Preakness. We need the Preakness in Baltimore. We need the Preakness in Park Heights.
That's George Mitchell, president of Neighborhoods United, testifying in Annapolis before the House Ways and Means Committee on March 1st. The Stronach Group, which owns Pimlico Racecourse, wants to move the Preakness Stakes, the second leg of the Triple Crown, to its other track in Maryland, Laurel Park in Anne Arundel County. Stronach says Laurel Park is larger and in better condition than the 148-year-old Pimlico. Jeff Barker, who covers sports and politics for the Baltimore Sun, joins me from NPR's headquarters in Washington. He's been following the debate over moving the Preakness Stakes. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sheila.
What economic impact does the Preakness currently have in Baltimore?
Yeah, they just did a study of that. It's $50 million plus every single year, and they say that the every single year piece is critical, and Mayor Pugh even calls it Baltimore Super Bowl because it does, you know, repeat every year. It's huge for Baltimore. It's probably not a coincidence that this study was just done by the city, because the city, of course, is eager to show how much this does mean in terms of hotel stays, restaurants, et cetera.
And that $50 million is a bigger number than people had been estimating, right?
It is, and it's funny. It's actually not based on what's happened in the past. It's based on projections that if Baltimore were able to keep the Preakness Stakes, that this is what the figure would be. And it actually, this was interesting to me. As you know, there are 130,000 plus people go to the Preakness Stakes every year, but this number was based on only 75,000 people. But the number is higher than in the past because of those 75,000, a much higher percentage is premium seating. So Stronach Group is trying to turn this into a little bit more of a pricier event. Fewer people coming, more revenue.
Fewer people, more revenue. And is that what their vision would be if they move it, if they succeed in getting it moved to Laurel?
Exactly. Even more so probably at Laurel, because their vision, I was fortunate to tour Laurel and Pimlico recently, and they looked at Laurel, they looked at the grandstand, they pointed up and they said, this will be the home of the Sky Suites, and the Sky Suites will rent on Preakness Day for thousands of dollars, and that's a different kind of deal than they have at Pimlico right now, where, of course, there are no luxury suites.
A study of Pimlico by the Maryland Stadium Authority proposed renovating that track and adding amenities in the community around it, and the estimated price tag for all that would be $424 million. Is it clear who would pick up that tab?
That's the big question. No, it's not at all. And it's funny, you know, I think there's been a lot of concern about this, about who will pay, and if nobody will pay, does that mean the Preakness is leaving Baltimore? But I think this has been out there really for several years, and I mean, some of us in the newsroom were talking at the Sun about that, you know, shouldn't people have realized that the writing was on the wall on this? Because it's been clear, whether we didn't know about the $424 million figure, but we knew it was going to be a big ticket item to rebuild, you know, Pimlico. And that question has just lingered, and it still hasn't been answered on who would pay.
Well, the $424 million would include upgrades beyond just the track, commercial and retail projects, senior housing, green space. Could the plan be scaled back? Could the facilities be updated without all of the ancillary development that the plan envisions?
I'm not sure. I think it's hard to scale it back because there's so much involved. And the city points out that of that 424, that at least $100 million is money that's going to have to be spent no matter what. Because you've got to do, even if they don't rebuild Pimlico, you've got to do something with the site. You've got to demolish the old Pimlico and do something, because it's just a huge, people sort of forget how much land a racetrack takes up. So I think the city says you've got a lot of costs in here no matter what, but I think it's hard to reduce that $424 million. There's so much involved, but it isn't, as you say, it isn't just a racetrack. That also would create something that would be there every day of the year for the community. So the city, you know, wants to point that out. They're not just building this for a big horse race, you know, every May. They're building it for something that the community could use all year.
That's Jeff Barker, who covers sports and politics for the Baltimore Sun, here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the potential move of the Preakness Stakes out of Baltimore to Anne Arundel County. Mayor Catherine Pugh mentioned a work group she wants to study development when she testified in Annapolis.
There are many options that the work group consider, and that's what this piece of legislation is about. It is about creating the work group that followed the study that said the Preakness belongs in Baltimore, can be done in Baltimore if the investment is made. It was not us not investing in Pimlico over the last 15 or 20 years. It was the lack of investment by those who own the track.
Those who own the track being the Stronach Group. The Stadium Authority study noted that Pimlico needs to be brought up to fire code. It requires electrical and plumbing upgrades and has loose ceiling tiles in interior spaces. While Pimlico was deteriorating, what was happening at Laurel Park?
Well, if you look at Laurel, as I did, and have a few other times previously, you see that it's getting a little fancier. The most striking thing I noticed at Laurel that you don't have at Pimlico is the barns, where the horses stable. There are fancy new white steeple barns at Laurel and old brick barns at Pimlico. The ones at Pimlico, I wouldn't say they're unclean or something. They're in fine shape. But those barns are very expensive, and Pimlico has them. But also, if you go in the grandstand at Laurel, you see a lot of amenities that they don't have at Pimlico. And there's an e-gaming room. There's a room for sports book, which if sports betting is legalized in Maryland, you'd be able to go there. And that's a nice room. There are couches in the grandstand. They're almost like little comfortable sitting areas. And you don't have any of that at Pimlico. So clearly you know that Stronach has been thinking ahead with Laurel where they have not been with Pimlico.
Well, you and your colleague Doug Donovan at The Sun did a deep dive into the slots money, the racetrack facilities renewal funds that have gone to Stronach over the years. Tell us about what you found.
Yeah. The state, as you mentioned, subsidizes horse racing. And horse racing has made a comeback in Maryland in recent years. And part of that is because of slots. When Maryland approved casino gambling, it set aside a portion of the slots revenue for the horse racing industry. And an important part of that is capital improvements. And what we found is that of $112 million in subsidies, we charted Laurel getting $89 million of the $112. So that doesn't, of course, leave a lot for Pimlico. But these were things, money spent for the barns that I mentioned and electrical upgrades and other kinds of renovations. So yeah, the lion's share of this money was going to Laurel, not to Pimlico.
And I just want to be sure I'm straight, because we're talking about essentially state grants that The Sun examined. Is the Stronach Group permitted to make such an uneven investment?
They are permitted, yeah. The law does not specify which track that the money goes to. And I should mention, to be fair to Stronach, I should mention that they do match, that there's a matching element in there. So they've been spending a lot of their own money as well. But we wondered why some people seem surprised when they learn that there is this disproportionate investment in the two tracks, because it's been pretty clear over recent years, if you just go to the tracks and look, you notice, you know, it's very noticeable that Laurel has received all these improvements and Pimlico has not.
Was someone from the city supposed to be keeping an eye on this?
I don't know if somebody was assigned to doing it. You'd think maybe they were. I mean, maybe the city knew about it. I think, in fact, the city has said that they were aware of it, but they've had faith in that there was a process that was going to take place that was going to make sure ultimately that Pimlico got a fair shake. And that process is these work groups that were set up, which is supposed to take a look at the Maryland Stadium Authority study and figure out if there's a way to implement that so that you could continue to have, you know, a Pimlico track going forward.
The issue is before the General Assembly. Does the Stronach Group need its approval to move the Preakness?
Yeah, because there is a law going way back that does say that if the Preakness Stakes is held at a track other than Pimlico, that it can't be done barring an emergency or natural disaster. So, you know, we'll see in the General Assembly if Stronach decides that it wants to challenge that law. I guess it could challenge it in court. It could also try to have the law changed, and we'll see what the sentiment is in the General Assembly for whether they would, you know, like to overturn or at least revise that law and allow Stronach to move the Preakness Stakes.
The General Assembly is considering a work group to study the issue?
Yeah, now there's legislation out there, and the proponents of Pimlico from the city want this work group to be created and get started. And the work group would basically look at how feasible it is to rebuild Pimlico, you know, whether it would be for that $424 million price tag or something else. That's the path that the city wants, is to have a work group, and the work group brings Stronach to the table, and that's important because they, you know, the city eagerly wants Stronach to be a participant in what happens to the track.
And as I understand it, there's also legislation that would pour more state money into the Laurel track?
It would help Stronach sort of jumpstart the extensive renovations it has planned for Laurel. I've mentioned some renovations, but they're mostly cosmetic. So it really wants to proceed, you know, go full forward on these things like these sky suites, et cetera. And so what Stronach wants is legislative permission, to basically allow it to obtain bonds, and then it would use those bonds to do the kind of work at Laurel that it would like.
How long is the Preakness guaranteed to remain in Baltimore?
That's a good question. I just wrote about that. All I knew really was that it was guaranteed this May. But when I asked Stronach that, they said, well, we must run the Preakness in Baltimore a year from May as well. So I think that's, if you try to look into the future, about as far as you can go for knowing for sure that the Preakness will be in Baltimore, you know, would be 2020. That's all we know right now.
But we may know more in a few weeks.
We may. Hopefully we will. I think everybody's, people have said from both sides that this issue, that, you know, the can has been kicked down the road. So hopefully there'll be some resolution come sometime soon.
Thank you for walking us through it, Jeff. Thanks.
Thank you, Sheila.
Jeff Barker covers sports and politics for the Baltimore Sun. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we'll link to his recent reporting on Pimlico Racecourse. Short pause here on the record. I'm Sheila Castro, and we're back. Reaction from communities around Pimlico. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Well, the Preakness Stakes, first run at Pimlico Racecourse in 1873, move from Baltimore to Laurel Park. What economic impact could this loss have on communities surrounding Pimlico? On March 1st, Marcus Pollock, executive director of the Park Heights Renaissance, testified in Annapolis in support of establishing a work group to study the Maryland Stadium Authority's recommended overhaul of Pimlico.
The Preakness represents a tradition that's almost a century and a half old. Each year, one day, the world looks upon Baltimore with all its grit and charm and challenges and gives us, whether you are black, white, Jewish, Muslim, gay, straight, an opportunity to feel a deep sense of pride, a sense of hope, and a possibility of winning. Aside from that tradition, I would add that a reimagined Pimlico with the Preakness as its centerpiece will provide an economic engine for growth and development for the Park Heights community and beyond that we haven't yet seen. It will complement the investment of more than $200 million planned by LifeBridge. It will leverage the millions of dollars of commitment to be made by the Pew administration to change communities like Park Heights. It will bring good jobs to a community that desperately lacks opportunity and will fuel growth and development for many years to come. We don't have a lack of vision or resources in this state. We've got plenty of money and plenty of great minds. I would add, though, that what we have more than anything else is a lack of leadership and a political will to do the right thing, which I hope we can solve here today.
That's Marcus Pollock of the Park Heights Renaissance, a nonprofit that promotes neighborhood development and community engagement, testifying in Annapolis for an effort to keep the Preakness in Baltimore. Joining me now is Will Hanna, president of the New Park Heights Community Development Corporation. Created in 1999, the New Park Heights CDC is a nonprofit that advocates for residents of Northwest Baltimore and leads local development projects. Will Hanna, welcome to On the Record.
Thank you for having us, Sheila.
What are you hearing from residents?
Well, we hear mixed views from residents.
Mixed?
Mixed. An assumed general consensus that the residents of Park Heights want the Preakness to stay.
You're right. That is the assumption from those of us who aren't there.
Right. But most of the people that live in Park Heights, me being a 33-year resident of Park Heights, I can honestly tell you that myself and probably most of the people that I know, the thousands of people that we know in Park Heights, have never been to the Preakness. And it's not as... I don't think it would be missed as much amongst the residents as it would be missed amongst the city. And there's a distinction between the impact that it has on the city versus the impact that it has directly on the community.
There were just a dozen racing days at Pimlico last year, and of course rumors of the Preakness moving out of Baltimore have swirled for years. So is this something you've been worried about?
We've been talking about this for the last 10 years, where this was always an issue when we discussed the racetrack impact funds, when we talk about the funding that was allocated to Pimlico. In those conversations, we repeatedly said that if this is not addressed, the Preakness is going to leave and Pimlico is going to end up being vacated. Sure enough, we're at that point. And while it's discouraging for the city and the financial impact, we totally understand the financial impact that it has for the city. But I think that a lot of residents feel like, well, if the Preakness goes, what does that leave? Does that leave some opportunities for Park Heights? And what could possibly be there next? There's a lot of things that are needed in the Park Heights community, movie theaters, new fields, new amenities, housing. So when we look at all of those things and what the opportunities could be going forward, either way, if the Preakness leaves or if the Preakness stays, there's going to be some redevelopment. And in that conversation has to be what's going to be important to the residents in Park Heights.
So has the New Park Heights CDC developed some sort of counteroffer to the Stronach Group?
I think that what we would propose, not only to the Stronach Group, but also to the city, is that there has to be a meeting of the minds where there's some middle ground. And we think that that can be captured, that middle ground can be, and as I said, whether the Preakness stays or leaves, that middle ground can be, we still are going to need movie theaters. We're still going to want bowling alleys. We still want retail shopping and nice districts and supermarkets. Those things are going to happen with or without the Preakness. And I think the plan that needs to be developed should be something where the city can come back to the table, Stronach Group can come back to the table and say, let's do this with the community and do this together.
If the Preakness should leave, how optimistic are you about attracting those things you say the community needs?
Well, I think that people have to look at it from the community's perspective, is that the Pimlico Racetrack is not the center of Park Heights. It's an asset to Park Heights. So there's a lot of development, housing projects, things that are going on right now. So those things are happening without the racetrack, or in with the racetrack even in its limbo status. There's millions of dollars of development done in Park Heights every year. So those things are happening with or without the racetrack. The financial impact to the city, the $30 million that you talk about, what if we were able to create a state-of-the-art facility in Northwest Baltimore on 193 acres that could benefit the people of Park Heights, not only that, but of the city? So where you have a facility that may generate $30 million in 1 week, imagine a facility that's open 52 weeks out of the year. So that's the difference, I think, in mindset. Either way, that's going to happen, whether the Preakness stays or leaves.
In January, the Pimlico Community Development Authority, which is an advisory group in the State Department of Planning, released its annual spending plan for the coming fiscal year. It wants an estimated $8 million in slots revenue to go to areas around Pimlico Racecourse to help pay for projects including a library, apartment complex, park expansion, and landscaping. Are you concerned about those projects and whether they'll happen if the Preakness leaves Baltimore?
Well, I think part of that conversation is, what is the future of the slots revenue in Park Heights, because it's centered around the Pimlico Racetrack. When this bill was done, when the legislation was done in 2007 to create the slots revenue, SB3 2007, when that was done, the Pimlico Racetrack was leveraged so that, and it's 1 mile radius where those funds that you just explained would be expended. So in the event that the racetrack leaves, I think the concern is that what's the future of the slots revenue? Not so much as it's $8 million this year, but it's been a total of about $30 million since 2010. And that may be the concern, is where those funds would then come from for community projects.
If the Preakness leaves and the Stronach Group redevelops the race course, would there be slots revenue coming?
There may not be slots revenue, but maybe. There was a fund prior to slots revenue that was called the Racetrack Impact Fund. And that was in place from 1972 all the way up to, it's still in place now. It's just that it's used differently. So all the way up to 2013, those funds were used, and it wasn't as much as money as it is now. It was about $500,000 a year since 1972. William Donald Schaefer put that money in place. There could be a scenario where you go back to that model and make a local community impact aid based on the funds and revenues generated at what could be the new Pimlico site or whatever happens in the future with Preakness.
What would you most like to see happen right now?
I would like to see the interests of the community be looked at, respected, and somewhat brought to the table. I think that people are, you know, the conversations that are being had on one end to the other, and in the middle of that are the people. There are 30,000 people in Park Heights that may not have insight or knowledge about what's going on with the Preakness outside of what they hear through media outlets. But if their interests are represented in that conversation, those things that we talk about that are feasible, that need to happen for the community, that we talk about that are in the master plan and all of those types of things, those things can still happen, whether the Preakness is there or not.
I really appreciate your giving us this point of view. Thank you.
Thank you.
Will Hanna is president of the New Park Heights Development Corporation. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Glad you're listening. Hope you'll be back with us tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.